This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington, and coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight...
Donald Trump's long-shot campaign for president paid off big Tuesday when Republicans formally confirmed him as their nominee for president following the traditional roll call of the states.
That's VOA correspondent Jim Malone reporting from the Republican Party political convention in Cleveland, Ohio. We'll have details coming up. Also at the International AIDS Conference in Durban, one of the keynote addresses is the Jonathan Mann Lecture. It's named after a physician who in the 1980s gave an early warning about the devastating impact of the disease. And an estimated 80% of Libyans depend on a government paycheck. We'll have these stories and more, so stay with us. There's lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story this hour, Republicans officially nominated Donald Trump to be their presidential candidate on the second day of their national convention in Cleveland. Former Trump rivals and Republican leaders rallied behind the New York billionaire as the party moves to close ranks and take on presumptive Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone reports.
Donald Trump's long-shot campaign for president paid off big Tuesday when Republicans formally confirmed him as their nominee for president following the traditional roll call of the states.
Donald J. Trump, having received a majority of these votes entitled to be cast at the convention, has been selected as the Republican Party nominee for president of the United States.
It was Trump's home state of New York that clinched the nomination, and the tally was announced by his son, Donald Jr.
Congratulations, Dad! We love you!
And for the second straight night, Trump broke with tradition and spoke to the convention, this time in a live video hookup from his office in New York.
Together, we've achieved historic results with the largest vote total in the history of the Republican Party. This is a movement. But we have to go all the way.
With Trump's nomination secure, Republicans moved to heal their party after a divisive primary battle and seemed eager for the general election campaign. House Speaker Paul Ryan.
What do you say that we unify this party at this crucial moment when unity is everything?
Scenes of unity inside the hall were in sharp contrast with protests that continue just a few blocks away. Though most of the demonstrations have been peaceful, a scuffle did break out Tuesday when anti-Trump protesters clashed with a conservative talk show host, which brought a swift reaction from police. Meanwhile, former rivals for the nomination, including retired surgeon Ben Carson and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, took aim at Democrat Hillary Clinton.
We know exactly what 4 years of Hillary Clinton will bring. All the failures of the Obama years, but with less charm and more lies.
Josh Price, a Trump delegate from New York, says the country is ready for a political outsider.
I think that he comes across very well as someone who's blunt, who's direct, who doesn't talk like a politician.
Ohio delegate Dan Carter opposed Trump in the primaries, but is now ready to back him.
I mean, there's always animosity. Hell, I still got problems with Rockefeller Republicans, but we all work together. I was a Barry Goldwater guy.
On Wednesday, the convention focus turns to foreign policy. Jim Malone, VOA News, at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland.
Thank you, Jim. Well, with Donald Trump formally chosen as their nominee for president, Republicans at their convention in Cleveland turn today to some of the party's biggest names in the 2016 campaign to make the case that he is a better choice for the country than Democrat Hillary Clinton. Indiana Governor Mike Pence gets his chance in the spotlight less than a week after being announced as Trump's running mate. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who was considered for vice president, is also speaking today. My colleague Vincent McCorry is in Cleveland covering the convention. He provided insight into some of last night's highlights and what we can expect tonight.
You really had to search very, very, very closely to try and find something that was addressing the whole question of the economy and how Mr. Trump will help revive the economy. Speaker after speaker was attacking Hillary. Talk about Chris Christie of New Jersey. He put Hillary on trial. He was a prosecutor. And what they were doing is just ripping into Hillary at every opportunity. And therefore, you can say the whole theme was really lost in all the speeches throughout the evening. You could not find any strong line that really addressed what Mr. Trump will do as president as far as the economy of this country is concerned.
Are the speeches really offering enough in terms of substance regarding what Mr. Trump will do as president?
Many people are saying, no. When you listen to the speeches, they're really not offering any substance. Everybody's getting an opportunity there to attack Hillary Clinton, to attack Mr. Obama, and perhaps just repeat the same line that Mr. Trump will make America great again. Very general statement, things that you've heard before, but nobody has gone very specifically into what kind of plan does he have for this country. You could not find in any of the speakers anything very specific that addressed the economy, and therefore, I think they did not really live up to the theme of the evening.
A lot of analysts are saying that Donald Trump Jr.'s speech was the best of the night because it not only brought out Donald Trump's personal assets as a father, but also it presented his father's policy on education. So how significant do you think the speech was in terms of what we've heard so far?
Oh, very significant, very significant. Analysts are saying that he perhaps articulated the position of Mr. Trump way better than the father's done at any time. He seems to really understand the conservative language. He seemed to understand what it means to project his father as a person who is a hardworking person who has great ideas and respects people for their hard work. In fact, if anybody tried to articulate the theme of the evening, it was Donald Trump Jr. He talked about how his father has so much respect for the ordinary working people. He talked about his father being more concerned about doctors in common sense than men with MBAs because it does value hard work. And in referring to his father's business acumen, he made that connection with how he can make this country work, how he can build the economy because he's a man who gets his hands dirty and a person who values the hard work of people and who like to reward them. Therefore, try to help people understand that this is a man who can take this country far because he values hard work.
With his father, Donald Trump, now the official Republican presidential nominee, are you getting the idea that Republicans are going to unite and support him to try to beat Hillary Clinton?
Too many of those who have stayed off Mr. Trump's campaign are not about to change their mind. It's interesting, though, that few of his rivals from the nomination process are coming in to talk and in a way try to create that semblance of unity. From what I'm hearing from analysts, some people are willing to see him lose this election. They would rather see Hillary Clinton win the election than Mr. Trump represent their party as the president come November.
That's an interesting concept. And with Indiana Governor Mike Pence, he's speaking tonight. So what do you think Mr. Pence will say, given the theme of Make America First Again?
People will hope that the speakers tonight will help advance that particular theme. Now, that themes kind of haven't stood out so strongly in the speeches, but Mr. Pence being the vice presidential nominee, of course, first to introduce himself as vice presidential nominee because he hasn't been around too much in the campaign. He's kind of come in so lately. So he will try to show what he shares with Mr. Trump in their vision of the country and where the country should go and how the country can lead and be the first rather than coming from behind. But also significantly, I think there will be speeches by the former rivals Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio. Very interesting because these are people that Mr. Trump insulted so much, even labeled them, calling one little Marco and the other one lying Ted. They'll be speaking tonight, and one waits to see how they'll help to really project Mr. Trump as a person who will keep America first.
That's my colleague Vincent McCorry at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. At 15 minutes past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. With Donald Trump formally chosen as their nominee for president, Republicans at their convention in Cleveland turned today to some of the party's biggest names in the 2016 campaign to make the case that he is a better choice for the country than Democrat Hillary Clinton. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. At the International AIDS Conference in Durban, one of the keynote addresses is the Jonathan Mann Lecture. It's named after a physician who, in the 1980s, gave an early warning about the devastating impact of the disease. This year's lecture is entitled Protecting Human Rights and Reducing Stigma, and was given by a prominent South African judge who is HIV positive. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
Dr. Jonathan Mann founded the World Health Organization's Global Program for AIDS in 1986, but he resigned 4 years later, believing that the United Nations and the WHO did not take the threat of the disease seriously enough. In 1990, he founded what became HealthRight International. Dr. Mann had great oratory skills and spoke eloquently of the epidemic. In 1996, at the 11th International AIDS Conference in Vancouver, he warned of what he called the tribes of AIDS, that is, the many competing factions that were seeking attention and funding. Mann died 2 years later in the crash of Swiss Air Flight 111 off the Nova Scotia coast. At the 21st International AIDS Conference in Durban, another person who's been outspoken about the disease, despite personal risk and stigma, gave the Jonathan Mann Lecture. Edwin Cameron is a justice on South Africa's Constitutional Court. 35 years into the epidemic, Cameron warns of some of the same problems that Dr. Mann did.
The world has not yet accepted diversity in gender and gender identity and sexual orientation as a natural and joyful fact of being human. It is a shameful state of affairs. As a proudly and openly gay man, I've experienced the sting of ostracism, of ignorance and hatred, but I've also experienced the power of redeeming love and acceptance and exclusiveness.
About 35 million people have died of HIV/AIDS over the years. Cameron told the Durban audience that the disease exposes us in all our terrible human vulnerability, adding it brings to the fore our fears and prejudices. He says it takes its toll on bodily organs, muscles, and flesh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do not ask for tolerance. We do not ask for acceptance. We claim what is rightfully ours. That is our right to be ourselves in dignity and equality with other human beings. We claim our right to be human.
He says the world has not yet ended the epidemic because of ignorance, prejudice, hatred, and fear. He says nearly 80 countries continue to criminalize same-sex conduct, 34 of them in Africa.
Discrimination on the ground of sexual orientation or gender identity is a colossal waste of time. And the sooner we accept our differences, the better for all of us in Africa.
Justice Cameron says despite millions of people now receiving antiretroviral treatment, millions more still need it. Of the 36.7 million people in the world living with HIV, fewer than half had access to treatment last year. Most of them, he says, are poor, marginalized, and stigmatized, including sex workers.
Sex workers are perhaps the most reviled group in human history, indispensable to a portion of mostly heterosexual males in any society, but despised, marginalized, persecuted, and ostracized. Sex workers work. Their work is work with dignity. Why do sex workers do sex work? ask a sex worker for groceries, for school fees, to feed their children, to send money to their relatives in the rural areas. Don't you all want to do that, ladies and gentlemen?
Cameron ended his lecture by honoring treatment activists around the world who, he says, fought for justice in this epidemic. He praised them for their energy, courage, determination, sheer resourcefulness, and resilience. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
About 80% of Libyans depend on government paychecks, but those paychecks are funded by oil production, which has fallen sharply due to years of conflict. What's more, those salaries are draining the remaining $50 billion government cash reserve. At the current rate, Libya's cash reserves could vanish in about a year. What will Libyans do then? VOA's David Arnold has the story.
There are reports that the Misrata militia may soon drive the jihadist Islamic State forces out of the coastal town of Sirte, giving beleaguered Libya a rare chance to celebrate a victory. The militia from Misrata is the major source of support in Tripoli for the UN-backed Government of National Accord, or GNA, that's trying to assert itself in the capital. But as the militia makes its final and costly push in Sirte, its commanders are said to be complaining about the lack of material support the GNA has given them. Like all of Syria, there are big shortages. Mattia Tobaldo is a policy fellow at the European Council on Foreign Relations in London. He says the unity government in Tripoli doesn't have much time left to unite the country before Libya goes broke.
As the end approaches, maybe just in a year or even less, a lot of people are starting to say, you know what, maybe I will not get my government salary anymore, so I should get into some other types of businesses. So what we're seeing, for instance, now is that in the field of migrations, we have a lot of quote-unquote startups of people who get a loan to buy their trucks and their safe houses and to buy weapons to protect their activities, and they get into the people smuggling business, which is more profitable and has more certain revenues than a government salary. So the danger is that as we approach the deadline of the 2 years, we will see further steep rise of the informal illegal sector in Libya, which in turn fuels violence.
Tualdo says these smuggling startups may be illegal, but they will be profitable. He predicts 150,000 migrants will try to set sail to Europe from Libyan shores from year to year. A much larger number, about 500,000 who are there now, will want to return home or get jobs in Libya as domestic workers, food vendors, construction workers, and truck drivers.
Under Gaddafi, about 80% of the workforce was paid by the government. This is still largely so. And government money, lacking a real government, has not come through as it used to be. And even when salaries are paid, there is no cash in the bank, so people can't actually spend that money. And of course, if you have an economy without electronic means of payment, if you don't get cash, you basically don't get food. Most people still get salaries in Libya, but these salaries don't come in regularly for some people. Other people are not receiving salaries at all because of the breakdown of the government. But to some extent, it's been surprisingly efficient, the system of payment for people, despite the fall of the government.
Libya's divisions have become pronounced since the 2011 fall of longtime leader Muammar Gaddafi, and so have the failures and the successes.
At the moment, there is some good news. ISIS has shrunk dramatically. There has been a peace agreement in the south of the country, at least to deliver some humanitarian aid. There are a lot of local ceasefires which have practically pacified vast parts of the country.
The ability of Libyans to survive 5 years of division and 42 years of Gaddafi rule has something to do with tribes and regions. Tualdo calls it local self-rule.
In vast parts of the country, even though there is no central authority working, there are formal and informal local authorities which take charge. There is a lot of what we could say self-organization in Libya. But for sure, given the absence of a central government, given the absence of an army, there is a very high degree of anarchy.
Libya's social fabric and network of diverse regional and tribal powers that led to the five-year fracture of the state also enabled many communities to weather its decline. But if the government runs out of money before it can pull Libya together, it will be not just another failed state. It could be the port of departure for a continued stream of migrants heading for Europe's southern shores for years to come. This is David Arnold, VOA, Washington.
The group Human Rights Watch says dozens of people have disappeared in the past 2 years at the hands of counterterrorism forces in Kenya. According to a new report, military forces arrested at least 34 people for alleged ties to the Islamist terror group Al-Shabaab, but it says none of them has been charged. Family members say that they have not been informed of their relatives' whereabouts, despite reporting the disappearances to authorities. Also, over the past 2 years, Human Rights Watch says 11 bodies of people arrested earlier by security forces have been found. It says that raises concern for those who remain missing without explanation. Counterterrorism operations in Kenya intensified after the April 2015 attacks on Garissa University College. That attack left 147 people, mostly students, dead. The Hungarian government has launched a new anti-migrant media campaign. It comes ahead of October's national referendum on a European Union plan to distribute asylum seekers among member countries. AFP reports the advertising campaign blames recent terrorist attacks in Europe on the refugee crisis. One slogan says the Paris attacks were committed by migrants. Another message accuses migrants for a big increase in violence against women. The campaign warns Hungarians that there are a million migrants in Libya waiting to come to Europe. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and our engineer, Nick Ivanoff, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
The political party convention is a critical part of the American electoral process. VOA correspondents are there, reporting the latest developments.
Jim Malone, VOA News in Cleveland.
Catherine Gibson in Cleveland, VOA News.
Tune in to VOA's extensive, up-to-the-minute coverage of the U.S. presidential election.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
More than 600,000 people died from malaria last year. Most of those were children. But you can help protect your family with some simple steps. Mosquitoes transmit malaria. Therefore, try to avoid being bitten. Empty all containers of standing water. Water jugs, bottles, cans, and containers that livestock drink from can be breeding grounds for thousands of mosquitoes. Clean your roof of any rubbish where water can collect. Empty any ditches or holes of standing water. Avoid going out when mosquitoes feed, at dusk, overnight, and early in the morning. Sleep under insecticide-treated bed nets.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa. This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
How much do you know about HIV, the virus that causes AIDS? Do you know that you cannot get HIV from toilet seat or a drinking glass? HIV is transmitted through blood and bodily fluids, primarily through sexual contact. One way to protect yourself if you are sexually active is to be sure to use a condom. Condoms can reduce the risk of getting or transmitting HIV by up to 98%.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa. This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Did you know that more than 1.6 million people acquired HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, in recent years? More than half of those infected were under 24, and most of them were young girls. You can protect yourself from HIV. If you're a man, use a condom every time you have sex. If you're a woman, Insist that your partner use a condom. And whether you're a man or a woman, talk to your health provider about an HIV test.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA.